Let us pray. Our holy and righteous God, we wait before Thee this morning with expectant hearts. Oh, my Father, we've come to the house of our God. We've come to the house where Thou hast promised to meet with us. We've gathered ourselves together by Thy grace in this assembly this morning. And I come with an expectant heart of Thy working and moving in our midst as never before. We praise Thee for this. We rejoice in this, that Thou art able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. And so we wait before Thee that You will prepare our hearts. You'll cleanse us from our sins. You'll wash us and we'll be whiter than snow. And then, our Father, we will walk with Thee in that fellowship and sweet communion that Thou dost desire us to walk in by the power of Thy Spirit. And Christ Jesus, the Lord, will be all and in all. We praise Thee this morning for Thy greatness and for Thy glory, for Thy majesty, for all that Thou art as our God, as the living God, the one only true and living God manifested in three persons. We just praise Thee that Thou art our God, the lifter up of our head, the deliverer of our never-dying soul. And our fathers, we wait in Thy presence. We ask that Thou wilt fill us with Thy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, come from within and fill us and do the work which only Thou canst do. You said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. And we come with an expectant heart that You will, and that You will do Thy work in our hearts. Have mercy upon the sick in our midst, and Thou knowest them. We pray Thy hand to rest upon them for good. And Thou wilt give grace to each member of the families that we have in mind. And our Father, that Thy mercies will rest upon them is our prayer. We bring to Thee every prisoner who has written in. We praise Thy name for the open doors You have given us. Our Father, we thank Thee for the hearts that You have opened, the souls that You have saved, those that Thou art dealing with, and we praise Thy name, that salvation is of the Lord, and Thou art able and willing to go even behind bars and deal with the souls of men. So we bring them to Thee and ask for Thy mercies to rest upon them. Help us in this hour, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We will continue to use the last two verses of Ecclesiastes as our text. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In summing up the book of Ecclesiastes, we spent 22 messages giving you an exposition of the book of Ecclesiastes. In summing up the book of Ecclesiastes, we have in the past 4 weeks brought before you how God would have His children to walk in this world of sin and darkness over against the preacher's sermons here in Ecclesiastes of how the unrighteous walk in vanity, futility, and to no profit, thinking that you can live as you please because death ends it all. All of this leads to vanity and vexation of spirit. For no matter what a man does and attains in this life, the man under the sun says, he dies like the beast, the grave is in, so it does not matter how we live. But the natural man does not know that judgment awaits him, And that all that live in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, those that care nothing for the living God as He's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day shall face judgment, and that without mercy. Now what we have done in our last message is we have showed to you that God commands us to put off the old man and put on the new, to make no provision for the flesh, but to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We showed to you our relationship to the law of God, the law of Christ, which is law, which is the fulfillment of the law. Then last week, we went into and showed you from Galatians 5:22 that holiness, and that's the way God wants us to walk, and our messages now are on this walk of holiness, is a practical thing. And this is worked in our heart by the Holy Spirit and worked out in our lives as the fruit of the Spirit, which is the communicable attributes of God, which makes us like the Lord Jesus Christ. For He desires us to be holy even as He is holy. We spent 2 Sundays on the first of those gifts of the Spirit given in Galatians 5:22. And that verse of Scripture reads this way, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness or humility, temperance or self-control. Against such there is no law." So now we want to move on today to the second in this 9 cluster of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is, we want to look at the word joy. For the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, if you ever listened, I want you to listen this morning. If you ever prayed for one poor preacher, I want you to pray for me. God has a word for our hearts, and I want us to hear it, especially your speaker. And I pray that God will write this upon our hearts this morning. I want you to listen to the whole message. And I want you to ask God to write it upon your hearts. Because this fruit of the Spirit of a necessity must be a gift from God. And our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for this in His high priestly prayer in John 17:13, when He says, "Lord, that they might have and be filled with My joy." So the Lord Jesus Christ prayed that we might have it. The Holy Spirit was given that we might get it. The Lord Jesus Christ died and shed His precious blood for the remission of our sins, that He might deliver us from going down to the pit. He might wash us in His blood, that He would make us the children of God by regeneration and adoption, and that He would cause us to walk in the way of righteousness and true holiness, and then He would work in us this holiness that He desires us to walk in. The outward manifestation or the outward character of the inward working of God's holiness in us by the Spirit is this 9 cluster or the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But what is this joy that is required of us? And what is this joy that the Holy Spirit works in us to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ? And we should desire to have this joy. Especially when you understand that the word joy means to be gladdened. And I like the other definition of it. The word joy means delight. And God desires that we would have that spiritual delight in Him. Well, that's what spiritual joy is all about. Delighting ourselves in the Lord, having fellowship with the Father and with the Son by the Spirit of God. This joy that he speaks of here is a spiritual joy. It is an inward thing springing up from within us. Irrespective of whether our circumstances are agreeable or whether our circumstances are difficult, this rejoicing, this delighting should be there as that gift from God. This joy is a gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ and is one of the principal consequences of the experience of salvation. For he tells us in Romans chapter 15, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." And he gives us this when he saves us. He works in us that which is well-pleasing. And as I said before, we can define this word joy, for it's synonymous with gladness or delight. And to show you what that means, let us go to Psalm 16. And we can understand what this joy is. Psalm 16, beginning with verse 5. "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Now, the man who has this joy can say of the providences of God in his life day by day that the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, even though they may be grievous. And not joyous at all as far as the flesh is concerned, yet by the grace of God having this gift of the Spirit, which defies all circumstances and outward conditions, it can say that my lines, or the lines of the providence of God, are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. What God has given me is coming from a hand that is very, very good. I read a man was coming in on the last verse of Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And in commenting on that word, goodness and mercy following him, he said that that word following could be pursuing. And the only illustration he could think of that was good was that he could think of a man going down the highway. He's going the speed limit. Everything about his car is good. And all of a sudden, a policeman comes up from behind with his siren blaring and his lights are turning, and he pulls him off to the side of the road, not to give him a ticket, but to tell him of some joyous news that nobody could wait for him to receive till he got home. He had to have it right away, so they got a hold of the police department, the troopers, and they found him and gave him that good news. And he says, this is the goodness and mercy of God that follows us. It pursues us to do us good and to give us the good news of the gospel. I'm telling you, I went over that one when I read it a half a dozen times and let that one sink into my heart, that this goodness and mercy of God pursues me not to punish me, but to do me good and to bring to me the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we can say that our lines have fallen in pleasant places. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Now, brother, let me tell you something. I'm not going to wait to the end of my message where I have it in my notes. I'm going to tell you right now that this is the secret of constant rejoicing and constant joy and constant delight. It is setting the Lord always before our face and before our hearts. That is the secret. Meditation and contemplation upon God, who He is, and what He's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the key to this joyous living and delighting ourselves in the Lord and rejoicing always. And again I say rejoice, the apostle said in Philippians 4:6. Now, if I set the Lord always before me, then I am not set in my feelings. I am not set in my own wicked heart. I am not looking there. I have set the Lord before me and who He is and what He's done. And then I can rejoice in Him. Therefore my heart, verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My inner self rejoiceth. My glory rejoices. Or my inner self rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. See, joy is taking delight in the Lord and having pleasure in Him and who He is and what He has done for us. Oh, but you say, David in prophecy was writing about the Lord. Well, he certainly was. But I ask you a question. If God has saved you by His grace, who do you belong to? If God has saved you by His grace, in whom has He put you? Why didn't He say in His Word that we have become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh? Did He not say that we are married to Him? Did He not say that we are His children? Did He not say that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ? And what applies to my Lord applies to me. And we can take it as such. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now I want you to turn with me to the little book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3. I want to read verses 17 and 18 and give you another picture of this. And how God desires us to act with this joy under all sorts of circumstances. Did you ever read this? Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Six things that are against him. Verse 18, yet, in spite of all that, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Do you know why he's rejoicing? He is not looking to all the failures. He's not looking to his feelings. He's not looking to all he's lost physically. What he is looking at is the living God who has given him has saved his soul and given him a portion with the righteous, and that is what he is rejoicing in, and therefore he is taking delight. All of that can be replaced. I can delight myself and rejoice in the Lord, for that cannot be replaced. I must have him. Therefore, when you come to a portion like Philippians, and you read through it in 17 times, the word rejoice, rejoicing, rejoiceth, and joy is mixed, is mentioned there 17 times. Joy, rejoicing, rejoice, rejoiceth. All this means the same thing. We're praising God, we're delighting ourselves in Him, and when we come to that fourth chapter, and we look at that sixth verse, we find a most astounding thing. And how does it read? Rejoice in the Lord on Sunday. Rejoice in the Lord on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Rejoice in the Lord when you only feel good. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight thyself. Gladden yourself in Him. And again I say, rejoice. That's what he's talking about in this matter of joy. You see, God Himself is the author of this joy. He's delight. He has given it to us. As 1 Thessalonians 3:9 says, for what adequate thanksgiving can we render to God for you for all the gladness and delight which we enjoy from God because of what He has done in your souls? Paul said he was full of joy, he was full of gladness, he was full of delight because God had done something. God had given these Thessalonian believers the Lord Jesus Christ. He had saved their souls. So Paul delighted himself in the Lord because it is God who gives this gift to believers. And the thing I like about it is that this Christian joy has God for His object. I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 43:4. Listen to what he says in Psalms 43 and verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. He puts an adjective in the front of it. God is His exceeding joy. God is His exceeding delight. That's grace. For God to be the delight of our souls. In some way, my children were the delight of my heart as they were coming up. I loved them to death. And the last one was the sweetest, not the sweetest of them all, but I just loved to kiss him behind the left ear. That was my delight, was to pick him up and kiss him behind his left ear and just shower my love upon him because he was the delight of my heart. And I ask you a question. Doesn't the Father delight in us? If we know how, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask Him, or give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Our Heavenly Father delights in us coming to Him. Our Heavenly Father delights in us delighting in Him. He delights in us having pleasure in Him. So, the object then of our joy is the Lord God of glory. He is the one who is our exceeding joy. For joy focuses its attention. Joy focuses its attention on the contemplation of God. Listen to what Mary did when she went down to see Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. Listen to what she said. Verse 46. My soul doth magnify the Lord. When Luke 1. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. It says in verse 46 that she magnified the Lord in her soul. In verse 47, her spirit rejoiced in God as her Savior, as the one who was mighty that would bring mercy unto her. And then she began to contemplate on who He was. Verse 41, verse 51. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to His seed forever. She rejoiced in that God remembered His promises that He had made to Abraham and that she was going to bear the seed. She rejoiced in contemplation of the living God. And this is where joy finds all of its delight. Spiritual joy can only find delight in a spiritual object or a spiritual one, and that is the living God. Now, carnal joy and fleshly joy can find delight in all sorts of things. But all of that, it's going to fade away. Because Moses said, it said of Moses, that he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures or the delights of sin for a season. There are delights in pleasures of sin. There are delights in the world of the old flesh. But to have that joy that he's talking about here, and to walk in the holiness that God desires us to walk in, He says it is a spiritual joy that takes itself up and contemplates with the living God and meditates upon who He is. As Revelation 19:7 says, let us rejoice and shout for joy, exalting and triumphing in the One who has overcome the whore, the beast. And this is what we ought to do. We ought to praise Him. You know why? For what He's done for us. Christian joy is always joy in God's salvation. This is the verse of Scripture that God used to open my eyes when He saved me, or at least to give me saving faith or assurance. Isaiah 44:22. Beloved, let me quote another scripture before I quote this. Remember what He says in Romans 10? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's the way faith comes. Faith has the Word of God to rest upon. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And this is what came to my soul. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And as I meditated upon that, I was crying in my soul for God's deliverance. And the Spirit revealed unto me that that was past tense. He had already accomplished the work of salvation for my soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law was satisfied. God was satisfied. God could be just in justifying me. But then verse 23, sing. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. And I'll have to come before the Lord and I'll have to quote this back to Him. And I'll have to quote that 23rd verse. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it for Leroy Shelton, Jr. I love that personal touch for the Scripture. That's what He's done for me. There is joy. Shout ye, lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. It is the Lord that does it. Faith lays hold of this. We rejoice in His salvation. But then, it is the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ that we want and that we need. So let's go to John 17. And let's see what our Lord said in His high priestly prayer there about this joy that He desires us to walk in. He'd been praying, He got down to verse 13 of John 17. He said, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." He quotes something similar in 16:24. "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." He wants him to be filled with His joy. So it is the joy of the Lord that He delights in us coming to Him with and coming for. And I want you to notice, first of all, in this verse of Scripture in John 17:13, that it is the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to notice, that it is His joy. It is a kind of joy that He Himself possessed. And therefore, we can say of necessity that it was not carnal joy, it was not fleshly joy, it was not a boisterous joy, people putting on with all sorts of things that they might do with the body. It was not a boisterous joy. It was not a carnal or a fleshly joy. It was an inward spiritual joy. For He was taken up with the Father. Our Lord Jesus was a serious man. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet the Scripture says that He was joyful. He rejoiced in the Father. He rejoiced to do the Father's will. Therefore, this joy then is the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us by the Spirit, and this is the reason that He wants us to have it. He prays that we would have it. And beloved, if He's praying for us, and we should desire it above all things to be made in His image and in His likeness. It is exactly the joy that our Lord Himself knew. In spite of all that He had to endure and suffer, He spoke constantly of this joy. His words to His disciples there in the upper room and on the road to the garden, and in the garden He was talking about this peace he was going to leave with him. This joy that he had with fellowship with the Father, delight in the Father. He wanted them to be filled with the same thing that he was filled with. Full up, without measure, was given to him. And he wanted them to have it. Go with me to the last three verses of chapter 16 of John. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good joy, be of good delight. I have overcome the world." But what I want you to look at is the latter part of verse 32. What does he say there? He said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And beloved, that's where his joy was. He was alone with the Father. His Father was with him, and therefore his joy was in the Father. He knew that his Father was leading him to the Garden of Gethsemane. He could already feel the blood pouring out as sweats, as great drops of sweat. He could already hear of the rejection, the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the rejection and turning away of all of his disciples. He could hear what was going to be said at Caiaphas's court, at Pilate's court, at Herod's court. He could already feel the thorns on his brow. He could already feel the whip on his back. He could already feel the nail in his hands. He could already feel the sword in his side. And yet he took delight. How do we know this? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. For the delight that was set before him. For the gladness that was set before him. You know why? He was not alone. His Father was with him, so he could rejoice for the joy that was set before him, that he would see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He had delight in going through what he did. And this is what our Father wants us to know and to do. All that he in his providence brings into our lives, these lines that fall upon us in pleasant places, we can say that we have a goodly heritage, and though our best friend betray you and turn upon you, and I've had four of them do it in my lifetime. I have. I've had four bosom friends whom I would have said, "Cut off my right arm. I don't believe they would ever turn on me. Cut off my right arm. That's how much I believe they won't turn." I had four. Even in that, my lines have fallen into pleasant places. We can rejoice and delight in the Lord. Why? I'm not alone. Now I want you to hear that. And this is what sustains us. This is what sustains us. I am not alone. We're like our Lord. He delights in giving us this joy. It all is derived from Him. It all flows from Him. It is a joy that He gives to His people. It is a joy that He produces in us. In no way, shape, form, or fashion can this joy be self-generated. It's a gift of the Spirit. But He desires us to have it. And we have it by meditating upon Him and who He is and what He's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not meditating upon my unworthiness. Not meditating upon my sins. Not meditating upon my failures and shortcomings. And of course we come in repentance for these things. But meditate upon what He's done. It is a joy that is manifested in us, manifested through us by the Spirit of God, a delight in the Lord. Next, our Lord tells us here in John 17:13, that this is a joy that is entirely above and independent of the world and of circumstances, and it is in no way produced by those things that come upon us. Are you hearing me? You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? These circumstances, this is independent of this joy. No matter what state we're in, therein to be content and let God work in our souls and rejoice in Him. For let me tell you something. My Heavenly Father can do me no wrong. If you're a child of God, your Heavenly Father can do you no wrong. For everything that comes into your life has to pass by His throne of grace. He has to ordain it. He has to give approval for it. Did you know that? I don't care what it is. The flesh don't like it. But the Spirit should rejoice in God, my Savior. And delight ourselves in every hour in Him. The joy which is dependent upon circumstances. The joy that is dependent upon outside things. Things outside of ourselves. Or our condition is not His joy. The glory of this joy that He speaks of is absolutely independent of circumstances. It depends wholly and completely upon Him. And with that joy we can be like Him. We can face the cross and we can rejoice and we can say, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Is that right or is it wrong? That's the joy God wants us to have. And that way, when we're rejoicing in Him, we're walking in the way God wants us to walk, and therefore we are walking in holiness. We're walking in the realm of holiness when we are walking in the way of rejoicing. One part of this joy is our certain knowledge. You listen to me? One portion of this joy is our certain knowledge that He is praying for us. I pray that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. He is praying for us. If our hearts can only understand that, if our minds could only look to Him, the eye of faith, He is praying for me. How can I go under if God is interceding for me? The Son is there. To know the Lord's joy is to realize that He loves me. To meditate upon the fact that He chose me before the foundation of the world. That He came to deliver me from the guilt of my sins. To meditate upon the fact that He's done it all. That He bore the guilt and the punishment and the law is satisfied. He has nothing against me anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not circumstances at all. It never fails. He never fails. He never changes. One dear brother came in the prayer room the other morning, and all he could praise God, pray for, was to thank God for His unchangeableness, that He was immutable. He cannot change. And when that gets a hold of us and we contemplate upon that, then we have delight. We're having delight in the Lord. It's a contemplation upon God's attributes, who He is and what He's done. And then you can meditate upon, He's given me His nature. He's given me of His Spirit. He's made me His child. He gives me the blessed assurance that if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You ought to get that verse of Scripture and look at it. Romans 5:10. For when we were enemies, if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. If He did the greatest for us, is He not going to do the lesser for us to keep us? We should delight ourselves in Him. Then again, He has shown us so plainly and so clearly that our salvation, you listen to me, I want you to get this. He has shown us, are you really listening? I want you to listen. He has shown us so plainly and clearly from His Word that our salvation depends entirely upon Him and not upon ourselves at all. He has told us that no man shall be able to pluck us out of His hands, and that we are indeed safe and secure, and that nothing, no one shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Meditate upon these things and delight yourself in these things. Then you'll have all the joy. Your heart will begin to praise Him as you contemplate Him, not yourself. Are you looking at the most, you're looking at the most changing fool in all the world? I have more changing moods and more changes than anybody in the world. You wouldn't believe that, would you? What you holding up your hand for, brother? You got more, you change more than I do? Changeable. For He's never changeable. He's immutable. He said, I am Jehovah. I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So we are to look upon Him, and He plainly tells us that what He has done for us and what He will do for us is wholly and completely of Him and not of ourselves. No man is able to pluck us out of His hand. He tells us of the joy. He says, contemplate of where you're going. Contemplate of the joy unspeakable and full of glory when we shall see Him. He wants us to be joyous now. We're going to be joyous when that time comes, when He takes us to glory. But He wants us to be joyous now. He wants us to delight ourselves in Him now. And this is what the world sees, us rejoicing in Him. And of course, all of this leads in turn to fellowship with the Father. For our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. My dear believer, this is the ultimate source of joy. Realizing the truth as it is in Christ, we are brought into fellowship with the Father. And so as we walk in fellowship with the Father, we must be joyful. Anything less is impossible. And as our Lord experienced it, so shall we experience it as we have fellowship and a walk with Him. Now, what is fellowship? It's not a one-way street, you know. Fellowship is two people talking. They love to be in each other's presence, and they love to talk about the things that they know, don't they? I love to be around the people of God, for I can have fellowship with them on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother. We can talk about Him and rejoice in Him. When I get with an unbeliever, I can talk his language, but it soon runs dry, and there's nothing to it anymore. But in Him, there's pleasures forevermore. And we never run dry talking about Christ. Every day we can talk about Him. We can rejoice in Him. Can't we? Why, of course we can. We ought to be with the people of God. So, having fellowship with the living God is that we come to His Word. The Father talks to us out of the Word. We meditate upon that Word. And as we meditate upon that Word, we begin to talk to our Father. As He is right there within us, or sitting beside us, or if our mouth doesn't open in our minds, in our hearts, we are meditating and we are praying and we are praising the Lord and delighting ourselves in Him. He doesn't mind if we groan. But our dear brother said, He doesn't want us to grumble. He doesn't want us to complain. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. You say, how then in practice do I have this joy? You listen to me? The first thing is to avoid... Come on now, listen to me. I said the first thing is to avoid concentrating on your own feelings. How then is in practice do we have this joy? The first thing is to avoid concentrating on our own feelings. There are many Christians who spend their whole lives looking in their own hearts and at their own feelings and always taking their spiritual pulse and taking their spiritual temperature. Of course, they never find it satisfactory. They never find it satisfactory. They never come up to the standard. And because of this, they're always miserable, they're unhappy, they're mourning and they're groaning. And this is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to delight ourselves in Him and have fellowship with Him. The next thing we must avoid concentrating on our feelings, we must learn to concentrate positively on the things that we've spoken about this morning. In other words, the secret of the joy is the practice of meditation. And our beloved, we don't do enough of that. This is where our trouble lies. We do not meditate enough. Why, the cow has sense after she's eaten all morning to lay down at noon and get that food out the first stomach and the second stomach and chew that cud all over again that she might produce milk. And this is exactly what God wants us to do. And that is to meditate upon the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Meditate upon Christ. Meditate upon the indwelling Holy Spirit. Have fellowship with the Father. Meditate upon Him. Meditate upon what He is. Meditate upon what He has done. Meditate upon His love to us. Meditate upon God's care for us. His understanding of us. Meditate upon those things that belong to Him. Take time, make time to dwell upon them. Put away the trifling things of this life and meditate upon Him. There you will find your delight and there you will find your joy. And there your joy will be great and you will be filled with that joy that He says He delights in your having. Father, that they might be filled full with My joy. You hear what we said? Is it clear what we've said? I believe it's clear. Not to meditate upon my feelings, but to meditate upon God as He's revealed to us out of the Word, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. To ask the Holy Spirit to take those things home to our hearts. Ask Him to give us this delight in Him, this joy in Him. And as we meditate upon Him, upon His goodness toward us, upon His holiness, upon His faithfulness, upon His immutability that He cannot change, upon His mercies that are new every morning, upon His love toward us that He loved us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Meditate upon who He is, the perfect and holy and righteous one in all the universe. He's condescended to take unholy creatures in communion with Himself. Meditate upon that. Meditate upon the living God. Then there will be that joy, and that fellowship that nothing can take away from us. No matter where the lines are fallen, there that delight in the Lord is. I don't mean going around with a silly grin on your face all the time. Or trying to put on a boisterous thing. That's not what He's talking about. It is an inward joy, an inward delight in the Lord. This last verse of Scripture, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Now that's just as simple as can be, and that's the sum substance of all I've talked about this morning, of joy. Joy is delight in the Lord. So that's what He tells us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I trust God will take that home to my heart, and He'll take it home to yours, that we will delight ourselves in the Lord, and He shall give us the desires of our heart. You know what those desires will be? To be like Him. To be like Him. That this fruit of the Spirit, which is holiness, will be manifested in us. And He'll give us the desires of our heart. You watch it. You watch it. Ask for it. Ask for it. You know what I ask for when people have wronged me and come across my pathway and they have done everything they could against me? Right away, I start asking God, God, oh Lord God, give me a love for them that I've never known before. That'll pretty quick shut it all off. If God gives you a love for them, we can ask the same thing. Give me a love for my Lord that I've never known before. A delight in Him that I've never done before. That I might delight myself in Him. I just wish I could stand here the rest of the day and repeat Psalm 37:4 to our hearts. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that if I delight myself in Him, and He'll give me the desires of my heart, those things that I pray for and cry for and look to Him for? That's what He said, didn't He? Don't you take that Scripture to be that way? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, He knows you're not going to desire anything outside of His will. But He does know that it's His will to save sinners. It's God's will to save sinners. It's God's will to bring people into this house. It's God's will for us to send out the gospel. It's God's will to give us open doors. It's God's will to furnish the means for getting it out. It's God's will that I should walk in a way of righteousness and true holiness. If I delight myself in the Lord, He shall give me the desires of my heart. And we can wait upon Him and cry after Him. Did not He say, He that believeth on me, out of his belly, out of his inward parts, would flow rivers of living water. Rivers of pleasures are from the Lord. And may He give them to us, is our prayer. Brother Rob, would you lead us in closing prayer?